Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. You're in the know with Esther and Larry. Art on the air today. Stay in the know with Larry and Esther. Art on the air our way. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart.
Welcome. You're listening to Art on the Air on WVLP 103.1 FM and Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM, our weekly program covering arts and arts events throughout Northwest Indiana and beyond. I'm Larry Breckner of New Perspectives Photography, right alongside here with Esther Golden of The Nest in Michigan City.
Aloha, everyone.
We're your hosts for Art on the Air. Our theme music is by Billy Foster, with a vocal by Renee Foster. Our underwriters for Art in the Air are Valparaiso University's Brower Museum, regional art patron Mary Levan, and our landlord, Walt Breidinger of Paragon Investments. Thank you for your generous support. Art on the Air is supported by an Indiana Arts Commission Arts Project grant through South Shore Arts and the National Endowment for the Arts. Thanks to Greg Kovach, WVLP's station manager, and Tom Maloney, vice president of radio operations at Lakeshore Public Radio. Art on the Air streams live at WVLP.org and is rebroadcast on Monday at 5 p.m., plus is also heard on Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM, every Sunday at 7 p.m., also streaming live at lakeshorepublicradio.org, and is available on Lakeshore Public Radio's website as a podcast. Our spotlight interviews are also heard Wednesdays on Lakeshore Public Radio. Information about Art on the Air is available at our website, breck.com/AOTA. That's breck, BRECH.com/AOTA. That includes a complete show archive, spotlight interviews, plus our show is available on multiple podcast platforms, including NPR One. Please like us on Facebook, Art on the Air, WVLP, for information about upcoming shows and interviews. If you're interested in being a guest or sending us information about your arts-related event, exhibit, please email us at aota@breck.com. That's aota@breck, BRECH.com, or through our Facebook page. Art on the Air is always looking for financial support. We'd like to thank our current supporters. If you're looking to support Art on the Air, Esther and I especially would invite you to become an underwriter of this program in particular. We have information on our website at breck.com/AOTA. You can find out support information there. So don't just be an Art on the Air listener. Become a supporter or underwriter in whatever amount you're able to do so we continue to bring you this great content and this great local programming. And like I say every week, don't give till it hurts. Give till it feels good. And you'll feel so good about supporting Art on the Air. And next on Art in the Air Spotlight, we'd like to welcome Bill Hollier, who is the board chair for the Center for Creative Solutions in Michigan City. But he wants to talk about an event that's coming up, and it's a wonderful thing called the Northwest Indiana Poetry Showcase. It's a juried event, and we're going to talk about that and how it's been in the past and, well, some of the differences with COVID. Bill, welcome to Art in the Air Spotlight.
Well, it's very good to be here with you. Esther, so good to be with you as well.
You too, Bill.
So tell us a little bit about, just briefly, the Creative Center for Solutions and then the poetry showcase that you have and a little history of it and, you know, how to get involved with it.
Sure. The Center for Creative Solutions is based in Michigan City. And the mission statement of the center is to help people discover creative solutions to their personal, professional, business, and organization and community challenges and problems. And each year, for the last 5 or 6 years, we've been celebrating World Creativity and Innovation Week, which is always based around Leonardo da Vinci's birthday, considering him to be one of the great creators of the world. And his birthday was the 15th of April. So this year, in particular, the World Creativity and Innovation Week is April 15th through the 21st. And we always, in the past, have hosted various events to help people realize their creative potential and perhaps showcase a little bit of their creative ideas that they've had and problems that they solved. But in my mind, the arts were always important when it came to creative solutions. A lot of people talk about the fact that we need more creativity today to get us out of some of the problems that we find ourselves in, maybe global warming or the COVID-19 crisis. They think about we need more STEM schools, we need more math and science education, which is important. But to me, the arts are the spark that lends itself to the mathematics and the science to really bring out that creative process and get the creative juices flowing. So,
well, they're intricately intertwined.
They're intertwined, yeah. Yes. And many people that you think of as being very creative, including Da Vinci, were also artists and musicians. Da Vinci was a fine musician as well as a fine chef, believe it or not. And that, so they, the arts were very important to many creative people.
I think we got a good example of that on Inauguration Day with a young lady and her poetry.
Yes.
I mean,
yes,
I mean that really brought the arts to the forefront. So tell us some details about the past of the Poetry Showcase and how it moves on from here.
Esther, is this our third or fourth year?
It's our fourth year.
Our fourth year. This year.
Oh, no, it's the fourth or fifth year. I'm trying to.
Yeah.
It does.
So quickly. We usually choose a theme, but also let people kind of go afield and write about whatever they choose to. So we're talking about this year as a theme, reflections on the year 2020. And I think especially this year, there will be a lot of folks with some feelings that they would like to put on paper and share with the world about living through the year 2020 and into the future.
Most definitely. And we like to open up the poetry contest to kindergarten through 12th grade. And we have a series of judges who will be giving designations of first, second, and third place for each grade. So kindergarten will have three first, second, and third, or one first, second, and third place on through. But this year, do you want to tell them our exciting news?
Well, this year we've decided, and we've talked about this for a while, that we would like to include adult poetry as well. So we want to hear what everyone has to say out there. And we want to include the Northwest Indiana area before we've generally worked with Michigan City folks and LaPorte County. But we'd like
we'd like to welcome the Northwest Indiana region. And we want to say it needs to be original work. And you can write in any style of poetry you would like, haiku to a longer form.
We did have some interest in haiku last year.
We did. So,
and this year, depending on where we are in the world in April, we'll either have the showcase hosted at the Nest, which we did in the last several years, or we'll do it Zoom in this way. And we have our local newspaper, The Beecher, who have said that they would publish the winning poems. And also WIMS Radio, Rick Federici will let the poets read their poems on air. And also here, I think, on Esther's program as well.
Yeah, so, I think Larry and I would love to welcome the recipients to also speak their poems.
Exactly. Really want to encourage the local poets.
We're almost here to wrap up. Tell us how they can find out information about that in these last 30 seconds here, Bill.
Okay, you can email me at william.hallier, H-A-L-L-I-A-R, at gmail.com, or Esther?
At thenestmichigancity@gmail.com. Michigan City's all spelled out.
Thanks to Bill Hallier from the Northwest Indiana Poetry Showcase. Deadline for submission is March 31st, and the showcase will be on April 18th. Thanks again for being on Art in the Air Spotlight.
Thank you, Larry.
Thank you.
You're listening to Art on the Air, WVLP 103.1 FM, and on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM. Next, we'd like to welcome to Art in the Air, formed his eco-friendly and socially conscious goods called the Reform School in Chicago. He makes all these things, create unique items that you can wear and adorn your home. He has a beautiful website at reform-school.com. Peter Gaona, welcome to Art in the Air.
Hi, how are you doing?
Aloha, Peter.
Well, Peter, we'd like you to tell about your story, about how you got, where you grew up and everything, how you got from where you were to where you are now.
Sure. So I grew up on the south side of Chicago. I attended Whitney Young Magnet High School, same school Michelle Obama went to. That's our most famous alumnus. So I was actually, before I started Reform School, I was a dancer, an arts educator, and an arts administrator. And as I was dancing, I kind of always made items for myself because I was always into fashion, but maybe couldn't afford what I wanted or what I saw. And so I kind of just would deconstruct things or distress things to make them a little more unique. Because everybody I knew was shopping at the same places where that we could afford, or we would save up for, a designer or something here and there. But, we always wanted just to have something a little bit more unique and that represented our sense of fashion. And so, I would kind of always do that, and people would always ask me like, oh, make me one, or I want one of those. But I wasn't really in the entrepreneurial mindset to make, I just wanted to be unique. I didn't want to like make money doing it. But while I was dancing, I took classes with a seamstress in Highland Park, Illinois, because I wanted to start a men's dancewear line. So she kind of taught me just kind of the ins and outs of like pattern making and how to use different machines like the sergers and things like that when you're using like stretch fabrics and stuff. And so I made a few dancewear pieces for like myself and some friends, but I never really started the business of doing it. And once I kind of retired from dance, I went into arts administration and teaching dance, and then went back to school. I went to Columbia College here in Chicago after I stopped my dance career. And I went for live and performing arts management, is what I got my degree in. And part of that degree course, I had to take an entrepreneurship class, which kind of catapulted and started the idea for turning Reform School into a business. Like all of those years of making things for myself to wear, I'm back, a full-time college student and working in a restaurant, working at a high school part-time, and just kind of like, okay, I need money. Like people are telling me they want to buy these bow ties. At the time I was making bow ties out of repurposed, like old clothing, repurposed, denim, leather, things like that. And so the idea for, starting the business kind of happened in that class, and it allowed me to research how I can, have a business and start selling my products aside from online, but in person without having the overhead of a brick and mortar. So pop-up shops and crafts, what do they call it? Like craft shows and things like that. I was able to apply to those and sell my stuff there. So that's kind of how Reform School started. And then since then it's grown. It was still like a little side hustle. I was working full-time, still working in like arts education, and administration at a high school, and then working with Ailey Camp Chicago, which is a summer dance camp for kids. But as the business grew, I didn't have time to kind of do both. I had to kind of decide what I wanted to do. And so I left the high school that I was working at to devote more time to kind of seeing where I could take Reform School and the business. It's kind of grown. Like I just think like the journey from starting with just bow ties, and like little lapel pins. Now I offer, I have the t-shirts, and I have t-shirts, enamel pins. I do applique artwork on apparel. So jackets, sweaters, sweatshirts, mugs, kind of like seeing like the possibilities are endless once you have your illustrations and you start finding like different manufacturers. I still make a lot of items myself. But then I have another set of goods that I design and then have manufactured by other people. So
it's wonderful that you can take the issues that you're passionate about and segue it into these products. I mean, I think I met you right at the very beginning of Reform School at a show. And even then there was just like magic dust over you and the whole, everything about the way you presented your product. And of course, first I was so attracted to the fabrics and, you know, the vintage, I mean, they were obviously like just such, I mean, so well curated, the fabrics that you choose. It's, and then the pristine, they were pristinely constructed, just gorgeous. So, and I've been able to watch all the new things that have happened. So I'm so excited for you. It was just,
thank you,
Peter. I'd like to,
Go ahead.
Yeah, Peter, I'd like to dial back a little bit to your dance career and talk a little about that and your arts administration. What type of dance, where you were doing? I think our audience would be interested in that.
Yeah, so I started in high school at Whitney Young. We had a dance program. I mean, it's definitely more focused on academics, but they have a very good arts program as well and still do. That was kind of my first entrance into like taking dance. It kind of like brought, I used to be really, really shy, and it kind of helped me be a little more assertive and kind of become less shy. But
Was it modern or ballet, or
it was more like modern jazz in high school? And then later I did different programs, so I got on scholarship with Joseph Holmes had a program called Chance to Dance, which was a modern dance company here in Chicago. And then the Joel Hall Dancers. And then I started training with Deeply Rooted Dance Theater, and then would later go on to like become an apprentice with them and then a company member. But then I also trained at the Ailey School in New York. I kind of would travel and bounce back and forth between Chicago and other cities during my dance career, dance for companies here, and then audition for other companies out of state. So I danced for, here in Chicago, I danced with Joel Hall, Deeply Rooted, Luna Negra Dance Theater, Thodos Dance Chicago, the Lyric Opera. And then in Colorado, I danced with Cleo Parker Robinson Dance Ensemble, and then Dallas Black Dance Theater in Texas.
Very good. Did you do any other like legit theater dancing and theatrical productions?
I did some musical. I don't sing, but I did Black Nativity with Congo Square Theater at the Goodman. And then I think we did it at a couple other theaters, but I'm not a singer, so... During the chorus part, it's actually funny because like the dancers were supposed to sing, and then they were like, "Hey, just lip sync, like, don't bother." Yeah, it was not good.
That's an old school thing. Is that used to be that they'd say singers who sort of dance and dancers who sort of sing, and now in modern theater they want you to really do both and be able to act. They want you to be a trifecta in terms of that type of stuff.
Yeah,
because
are you still dancing, Peter?
No, I've tried to do a couple of classes. Because of the pandemic, there's a lot of like online classes.
I know, I've been doing a lot of online dance classes too.
I did a couple, but I don't really have like the space in my apartment. So that's kind of, you know, I tried to, you know, do as much as I could, but hopefully when we're back able to go to classes and group stuff, I'll be able to go back and take some classes.
For me, it's mostly been warm-up stuff. Like the English National Ballet has, you know, had this great warm-up program, you know, classes, I guess. So.
Yeah. So I went to trained at Ailey, and so they've also been doing a lot of virtual classes with the Ailey Experience, and then for their season, they did their whole gala this year online. So you got to watch the season, the premieres, and they were able to do like a lot of dance cinematography where they're taking dance into specific play off stage, you know, going to like a park or different, you know, outdoor spaces and performing there, which is really beautiful.
It is so beautiful.
You know, Peter, I've been looking at your Etsy site, and I like what you said about your pre-tied bow ties, you can't do that because of the combinations. Tell us a little bit more about that, how that works, because of the way you select fabrics and everything.
Yeah, so I usually use a piece of leather in the middle, and so the fabric piece, which is like the bow portion, is usually made of the same material that you know, it's like one long piece, like a traditional type. I mean, the bow ties are cut differently, but one long piece of fabric. So the center knot would be the same material. And so with these are pre-tied, because when I'm using repurposed fabric or other, like say I'll use a lot of the material, she was drawn to the fabrics, which are usually, women's clothing, old women's clothing. So lots of skirts and dresses, because the fabric is, you know, there's not a lot of silk and finer fabrics in men's apparel. So usually when I go thrift shopping or sourcing for material, I'm just drawn to the fabrics and not what it was. So usually a lot of times, like, I'll just walk through a whole thrift store just to kind of see what catches my eye. And usually it's in the women's section because I need a little bit more material. And so skirts and dresses kind of work better for me. But yeah, so that the bow portion is the fabric piece usually. And then the center piece is usually leather. And the leather is scraps from, again, leather pants, leather skirts. I would also get purses, not so much because the leather
too heavy.
Tends to be a little thicker.
Yeah, it's too heavy.
Yeah, and so like trying to hand sew through it, it becomes too bulky and heavy. But there were some like upholstery pieces. So that when I was at Columbia College, the person who did all of the upholstery for all of the furniture on campus saw my stuff at Shop Columbia, which was a great resource for me too. Cause they do like this feedback on each product, and I learned so much, you know, just having it reviewed and how to make them better. But he gave me like boxes and boxes of scrap leather because I don't need that much for what he's doing. You know, they need like larger hides for sofas and chairs and things like that. But for what I'm doing, I probably only need a couple of inches for the centerpiece of the tie. And so, I mean, I think I still have scraps that he gave me that I'm still able to use for those.
Do you still have your first tie?
I do. I still have. And when I look back at it now, because, I mean, over the years, like, I've definitely learned a little bit more about, like, finishing stitches. And I was able to take some sewing classes while I was at Columbia, too, as, like, electives, just to, you know, try to make them better and more well constructed. But yeah, I do still have it, and I look back at it and I'm like, oh my God, what I was selling this? Like, just to see like how, you know, they've evolved definitely.
So you've done a lot of collaboration or a few collaborations. Are you in the process of collaborating with anyone else? I mean, are you being approached to do specific lines?
More so for the pins and some of the other items, like the bow ties right now, because we're not going and dressing up to galas and things like that. Those, I mean, I'm still doing them, but not as much. But the collabs right now, I would say more so for pins. So I designed a pin for Alvin Ailey American Dance Theater a couple years ago for their, I think it was the 60th anniversary of the company. So that was sold at the school and in New York. And then I did a pin for the Schoenberg Center in Harlem. It was the Schoenberg Center for Black Research in Harlem. I did a pin of their founder, who was also Puerto Rican. I don't think we talked about this, but the educational component of a lot of the items that I do. So like the pins and things like that, they all have a little history on the back of who each person is. So when you're wearing the item, they're kind of conversation starters. You know, they're a little flair that you can wear. And I get a lot of people tell me, like, people love my pin so much, and I'm able to, you know, share with them a little bit of history. I try to include like a little story or a quote or something, so that it's educating people. And when you wear it, you can also kind of share that same story. And then with the ties, it's the, you know, how we can reuse and make new products out of what we already have, and, you know, don't throw away your old clothes because they can turn into something else, you know, or somebody else can wear them. I mean, it's not always about cutting them up and making something else, but sometimes just giving them to other people who can still get some life out of them.
You know, I was going to ask you about COVID-19, how that's influenced you, but I notice on your site you've responded with some face masks that are like wearing pieces of art. So first of all, tell us how it's impacted you and what you're looking forward to after it, but then also tell us about those face masks.
Yeah, so I think when the pandemic first started, I was kind of in shock and a little depressed, slept for about a week. But my friend was like, yo, you should start making face masks because all of the nurses, like there was a huge shortage. And I think nurses were allowed to wear just fabric face masks. So it kind of gave me something to do, like a little motivation to wake up and, you know, work. I was, you know, not really doing anything. All of my events and pop-up shops were canceled. And so it gave me some purpose. And, yeah, I mean, I think it just researching like which patterns were the best fit. I kind of went through a few little iterations of which ones I like the best. But yeah, I think some of them were made out of new fabric. I definitely did some that were made out of the repurposed, you know, like denim and things like a little heavier weights. Still trying to incorporate using what we have already and not, you know, creating a lot of waste.
I've also seen you have other things like magnets and pins and things like that. And do you actually make those yourself? You design them and have outsource them to actually be created?
Yeah, those I design, but then I use different companies to like print them or create stickers or magnets. Yeah, once you have like the illustration, you can kind of send out your artwork to have it printed on mugs. I mean, kind of the opportunities are endless for that. But it's just about finding the right manufacturer and the quality for what you're looking for.
So what is your design process, Peter, for choosing what you're going to produce? Like, where does the inspiration come? Because we carried your clothing as well in the gallery. So how do you decide?
I think it's usually still stuff that I want to wear, honestly. So I'll usually make it for myself and then kind of see what the feedback is. Like if people say, oh, I want one, or now it's just kind of posting a picture of it and seeing what people kind of comment on it. But yeah,
because I imagine think, like with the bow ties, you probably have going, I want that one that you're wearing right now.
Yes, that would happen a lot. And even with the apparel too, somebody, you know, sometimes people they're like, I want that shirt. And I'm like, oh, I didn't make any more of this, but I could make it again. But sometimes like when I do applique stuff, I may find like a really nice vintage sweater. And I'm like, oh, well, this one is a one of a kind, but I can redo the imagery that's on the shirt on something else. And like a lot of the jackets too, like I still find like vintage jackets. So those are all one of a kind. Like, I can redo the imagery or the image that's on the back of the jacket, but the jacket itself, sometimes people love it and it's the wrong size. Like that's kind of like the hit or miss about thrift and vintage shopping is like, it's a really beautiful jacket but it's extra small, you know? So it's kind of like that has, you know, the Cinderella, like it has to fit the right slipper.
And you are your best model for, what you're doing, but you also do model, correct? Are you used to?
I do a little bit, but mainly just for friends. Other designers who ask me to, you know, do stuff like model for them.
The eyewear is like those images are so gorgeous.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. So I have a friend who's also from Chicago, who was just like, you'd be perfect for my brand. Would you, you know, take some photos? And I was like, you know, sure. Help out another business, another entrepreneur. It's funny because when I tried to, after I stopped dancing, I was like, oh, I can model and just make a little extra money. But when I tried to get an agency or get with a modeling agency, like they would be like, oh, we like your look, but we like our models to be this tall. And so I kind of gave up on it because I'm like, I can, you know, if they're like lose weight or go to the gym or cut your hair or do that. Those are all things you can change, but I'm like, I can't make myself grow taller. So I kind of
Well, it's actually like in 2021, that just doesn't even matter anymore, which is such a good thing. You know, there's...
Yeah, I mean, even for print, because I was like, how do you know how tall somebody... I mean, I wasn't, you know, trying to argue. I was just like, okay, thank you. But luckily, I've been able to work directly with the designers or photographers who are like, hey, come and do this shoot. And there's no, you know, audition process. There's no... It's like, they know how I look. And when they ask you to do it, it's kind of like a sure thing. So there's never... You know, the normal process of like, oh, well, kind of deciding who they want to use.
Right.
Which is good for me because I'm like.
Well, it makes it more relaxed, doesn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
Peter, tell us what you're looking forward to at post-pandemic once we get out of this thing.
So I'll be opening a store, a brick and mortar. I was accepted into a fellowship called the L1 Business Accelerator with University of Chicago and Arts and Public Life. And so part of the fellowship is helping us get, there are three businesses selected. And so part of that is a retail space that will be located in Washington Park. And yeah,
I'm congratulations. Looking... That's a really big deal, Peter.
It is.
That's an amazing program, actually.
Yeah. So right now, I mean, the store was supposed to open in April and it's finished. The store is finished. It's beautiful. But none of the University of Chicago buildings are open right now. So we're just waiting till we can get approval to open the store. It's ready for us to move in.
Did you get to make decisions on how you wanted it to look?
So they hired a great architect designer, Norman Teague, designed all of the displays and kind of, you know, he created these like mood boards for all three brands so they would be cohesive for all three brands. But it's really light and airy, and I think it could, you know, it's an amazing space. I can't wait to move in and kind of dip my toe into having my own store.
It's so exciting.
Well, real quick, Peter, we only have a few seconds left. Tell us about how the people can find you on the various websites and such as that, and where this location of this new store will be.
So it's the website is reformed-school.com. So it's reformed-school.com. And then also on Etsy. So if you look up, if you go to etsy.com/reformed school, you'll find some stuff there. And then the new space, the L1 space, it's called the L1 space. So it's right at 55th Street between King Drive and Prairie in Washington Park, right below the Green Line.
Excellent. We'd like to thank you for being on Art in the Air, Peter Ganoa, as the reformschool.com, and you can see all his wonderful things on his web links there. Peter Gaona, thank you so much for being on Art on the Air.
It was a pleasure, Peter. Thank you. Yes.
Thank you.
You're listening to Art on the Air, WVLP 103.1 FM, and on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM. And we'd like to welcome to Art on the Air, well, someone I've known for a few years in my days at the with Munster Theater Company's auditorium director at Munster. Was a student there, but now she's moved on and releasing a brand new album just like in the last couple weeks. We'd like to welcome to Art on the Air, Sylvia Josefina. Welcome to our show.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here. I'm so excited to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Glad to have you. Well, we first like to start out so our audience would like to know a little bit about you, your life journey, like where you grew up, where you went to school. Of course, we kind of revealed that, but, you know, and what you're doing besides music before we get into your music.
Of course, yeah. So I grew up in Northwest Indiana. I grew up in Ogden Dunes, which is a little tiny town next to the Indiana Dunes. I went to school up here in Northwest Indiana, up in Munster High School and Munster Middle School. But now I'm currently a college student at Indiana University. I study international studies, which I focus on global health and environment, specifically on climate change. And then I also am double majoring in earth and atmospheric science. So I'm an atmospheric science nerd too. But I started my music and my love for music started when I was in fourth grade. I joined choir And ever since then, I've been singing in my room, performing for my family, performing at little small town gatherings. And I just felt like becoming a musician was inherent in me. So I wanted to create a project that allowed me to express myself through music finally, after so many years of singing for others and singing others' works. I finally had the time and opportunity to create something for myself. And that is because of my past and the places I grew up in. So I'm very, very excited to.
Part of the inspiration of this is because of the COVID pandemic, I think. A lot of the music in there reflects that. Tell us a little bit about that in general.
Yes, definitely. I started writing this album when quarantine began. The first song off of the album, Come In the Now, I actually wrote the first day in quarantine, picked up my guitar, and I wrote the song in 10 minutes, just me strumming on the guitar, because it was just me realizing we have so much time on our hands with quarantine and COVID making us go inside for the safety of others. I had an opportunity to really find my creative expression. And because of that, and because of the tumultuous times we were living in, I had a lot of inspiration coming from different social experiences and just being at home and having all of these different changes. So I was very inspired. And in under a year, I finished my first album because of it.
And you did this all yourself?
Yes, I did.
So you did the production as well, or did you work with someone? Oh, wow.
No, I didn't work with anybody. The best part about this was that I wanted to dive into all music. So I wanted to dive into the recording, to the writing, to the lyricism, to the production. I wanted to try it all. Before I went off and find my own producer, I wanted to prove to myself that I can also produce my own music, that I don't have to lean on somebody else. So I would love to show you guys the first song from the album that I mentioned earlier, Come In the Now. It's about really just staying present, enjoying the moment, and just trying to find the positive things that come from many different experiences, just like how we have to find the positive in coronavirus. So, further ado, this is coming in.
I know, there's a line in it that says the day has been fossilized, you know, and it's like so true. And I can't wait to hear it.
Okay, well, let's take a listen to that from your brand new album, In the Now, Come In.
Distractions at every corner, smiles falsified. It's hard to think of a new tomorrow when the day has been fossilized. I don't know where I'm going, but it'll be a journey true. I'll stand up for myself, and hopefully you'll stand up too. With all the world upon us and every thought ablaze, we sing in harmony with the wind and the waves. Come in with the wind, come in with the rain. Lights out too, I'm here to listen to you. To your every sin, meet me in the night. Wake up in the morning and I'll face another day. Here I come along the path with your smile, it's true. I'm not here forever, but I'm here for you. It's all the time I need, all the time I've got today, so don't waste it all away. Take it back and make it something, make it good. Wind of mass destruction, but it's all right. Come in with it, come in with the wind, come in with the rain. Lights out too, I'm here to listen to you. To hear anything, meet me in the now. Yesterday and tomorrow, oh, who knows what they're.
Sylvia Josephina and her first track, the title, Come in the Now. Yeah, that was wonderful. So,
yeah, absolutely.
And where do you produce that? Do you produce that right in your home where you live?
Yeah, so I produce it on my laptop through GarageBand, which is just the Apple Music production application. And I just made it in my bedroom. I took my computer to Florida. When I went to Florida, I worked there. I take my computer wherever I am, and I create there. Earlier today, I was just sitting on my bed working on music. So wherever the computer goes, my music and my production go with me.
So in high school, or even back further into elementary school, were you always interested in science and climate? And
yeah, I grew up in a family that was very nature oriented. And I've always, because I grew up with the Indiana National Park in my backyard, I just found myself exploring the woods and exploring the forests. And in preschool, I went to a national forest preschool. So it was always a part of my life. And because of how important I realized advocating for the environment and advocating for a fair treatment of the earth was, it's really been a passion of mine. And I try to invoke that spirit in everything I do.
What do you
environmentalism.
What do you look forward to in terms of what you want to do with that degree or that field? What are you looking to do?
I have worked a lot with spreading awareness and making sure that everybody understands that they have a part to play. I don't know where it will take me. I just know that my love for the environment, my love for nature, and my love for creativity and expression will come together and create something that I know will be a great future for myself.
So when you worked in Hamilton County mapping like the aerial tree coverage, did you ever take any of those images and turn them into art? Because it's like it would be so beautiful, I think.
Yeah, I did a research with this professor down in Indiana University where we counted the tree cover of Hamilton County, and we then were able to calculate how much carbon is being sequestered from the atmosphere down into the trees. And it was a great project, and I had never thought about doing art with it, but there is definitely a lot of beauty in those pictures and those images that I worked with. So, I mean, you have inspired me.
We want to give it time so our audience can hear some more of your music. Tell us about Trade Wasted Time, which is the next one we're going to listen to, Sylvia.
Yes, Trade Wasted Time. I kind of wrote this one during the Black Lives Matter movement and when a lot of social unrest was going on here in the United States. I realized how important it is to stop wasting time. It was something that I kept contemplating and thinking about, was the fact that I would sit around on my phone all day, or I would sit around watching Netflix for hours. All the things that we do in our guilty pleasures, right? I just realized how much time it was taking up. And I really found it important to just write a song about not letting your time get wasted and taking the moment and utilizing it to speak your mind, to rise and to fight for what you believe in.
Well, why don't we take a listen to that? This is Sylvia Josephina, and from her In the Now album, Trade Wasted Time.
I will wilt away like a bouquet of roses out of wake. Before arriving at heaven's gates, I drive down life's way in the rearview mirror, the choices I make. Time, your precious time, you can fly. I must stop wasting you. Time you can fly, I must stop wasting you. We scroll hypnotized Morning, evening, until the phone dies. Screen time no longer satisfies. Now it's clear.
Now it's clear.
We must rise.
We must rise.
Trade in wasted time for something real. Trade in wasted time for something sincere. Ignorant silence turns into violence. Ignorant silence turns into violence. Time, your precious time, you can lie. I must stop wasting you. Time, your precious time, you can fly. I choose to stop wasting you.
And off the new album, In the Now, that was Trade Wasted Time, Sylvia Josephina. Well, that's another one.
Time is precious. That's yes. Like a so true.
Yeah, time is precious. And I guess writing this album was a testament to that for me. I didn't want to waste any more time. It was time to do it and create this symphonic experience, like I like to call it, a symphonic experience.
You're also creating a new habit, you know, because that's what they all are. I mean, like the wasting time, it's just like habits. So it's like so great to develop new ones.
You're listening to Art on the Air, WVLP 103.1 FM, and on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM.
So now I actually want to get back to like environmental stuff again. Like the Rocky Mountain experience sounded really wonderful. And I would, if we have time, I would just love to know what a day was like there. Like even the mundane details of, because you talk about the Leave No Trace lifestyle and so, and all the weekly chores. So I would just sort of like you to describe that experience.
Definitely. I worked for the Rocky Mountain Youth Corps in 2019. And during the summer of 2019, I spent 3 months in the Rocky Mountains, living in the tent with 10 strangers. And throughout that experience, we were working, we were building bridges, we were making trails, we were creating a community and fostering friendships and relationships. We would wake up around 5 a.m, have breakfast communally, everyone would make breakfast, and then we would head out to work where we would haul rocks, cut trees, do all kinds of just things in nature that most people may never have the opportunity to do. I was lucky enough to experience. And we would, if we were lucky, we would have a bonfire at night. And we would do this. It was just an experience where I got to spend time in nature. I got to work with my environmental advocacy, making sure I was able to conserve. But I also wrote every single day I was there. And I kept a journal and I was able to really create a creative discipline there, because I forced myself to write every day, to contemplate every day, to write down the things I was thinking. And I think being able to write all that stuff down was able to allow me to create an album like this, because it was a big project to sit and write for 73 days straight in the middle of the Rocky Mountains. And now I sat here for 365 days creating an album. So everything connects, and it's really great that you guys were able to listen and can listen to this experience that I created.
So that community, are you still in touch? I mean,
yeah.
Yay.
Good. Definitely. I actually sent them my album when it came out, and a lot of people, they all really appreciated it and enjoyed it. So it's been
Let's
great.
Take a listen to, and I have to ask you, did you actually do cliff diving? But the title of the next song is Cliff Diving.
I've jumped off of many high points into water. So yes, I've definitely had my own experiences cliff diving.
Well, let's listen to Sylvia Josephina's version of her cliff diving.
Ooh.
sure who will be alive tomorrow. I'm not sure if your love is enough. I'm not sure if I can take it anymore. The fight or flight response I get when I see you at my front door. Join me now is our time. I would say, when I saw you, I felt a peculiar way. Your hair seemed longer, your smile still big. Just like I remember when we were kids. We were playing pretend, climbing trees. I loved you so then I had to leave. But here I am again, and now we're audience if you're mine too. I'll be your audience if you convince me, if you convince me that you crave me. I'll jump off the cliff for you, jump off the cliff with you, like all true lovers do. And I will not see it any other way. Do not jump off the cliff. Do not jump off the cliff. Without me. I'm not sure who will I be tomorrow. I'm not sure my love is enough. I'm not sure if I can take it anymore. The fight or flight response I get when I look down towards the seafloor. Join me now as the moonlight shines down.
Sylvia Josephina's new album, and that was Cliff Diving off of In the Now. When did you release that? That was really just like recently, wasn't it?
Yes. I released it on January 14th, but it became accessible on all platforms by January 20th. So it has been out for under 10 days.
Okay.
So it's the exclusive feature, I guess.
Well, you know, it really speaks to walking the edge in these times. That's just... you know, my impressions of Cliff Diving. It's really a beautiful song.
Tell us about what platforms it's available on and how we can reach you.
Definitely. So it's available on In the Now by me, Sylvia Josephina, is available on Spotify, on not Instagram, but you can get to it by Instagram. It's available on Spotify, on Apple Music, on SoundCloud and on YouTube and on many other streaming platforms. So if you just search Sylvia Josephina or In the Now by Sylvia Josephina, you will be able to find it.
Excellent. Well, we'd like to thank you for being on Art in the Air, and we're going to play out one more song, Houseboat on the Thames. Tell us briefly about that, and then we're just going to go out with that, Sylvia.
Definitely. Houseboat on the Thames, it's about realizing that you're losing love, or that your love comes with heartache. Nothing easy in life comes without pain and difficulty, and you have to fight through the pain and the heartache in order to find love. And so that was what that song is about. I really hope you enjoy it, and thank you so much for having me. This has been an amazing experience.
It has. You can really hear the choral in the choral training in your voice.
Well, we can thank someone we both know, Bill Woods, for a little bit of that, couldn't we? So
definitely, yeah. It's my old choral director.
Sylvia Josephina on Art in the Air, thank you so much for coming on, and we're going to be listening to Houseboat on the Thames on our way out. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you.
Oh, my heavens, he said, get on your knees. Don't look down. Look up. Spider-infested houseboat on the Thames. I swallow my pride and realize your heart and your love come with pain.
You've been listening to Art in the Air, and we'd like to thank our guests this week. Art in the Air is heard every Friday at 11 a.m. and rebroadcast Monday at 5 p.m. on WVLP and Sunday at 7 p.m. on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM. Thanks again to Greg Kovach, WVLP Station Manager, and Tom Maloney, Vice President of Radio Operations for Lakeshore Public Radio. Underwriters for Art in the Air are Valparaiso University's Brower Museum, our landlord, Walt Breidinger of Paragon Investments, and Mary LeVan, Arts Patron. Art in the Air is supported by an Indiana Arts Commission Arts Project Grant and the National Endowment for the Arts. If you're interested in being a guest or sending us information about your arts, arts-related event, or exhibit, please email us at aota@breck.com. That's aota@breck, B-R-E-C-H.com, or contact us through our Facebook page. Your hosts were Larry Breckner and Esther Golden, and we invite you back next week for another episode of Art on the Air.
Aloha, everyone. Have a splendid week.
Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. You're in the know with Esther and Larry. Art on the Air today. Stay in the know with Larry and Esther. Art on the Air our way. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart.